in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Help me to encounter you by your word. Help me to encounter you through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Lord, our hearts and minds are open to receive your engrafted word, which is able to save, to heal, to deliver, to renew our minds, to transform our lives and transport us to the next and higher level in life, the next and higher level of success, next levels of victory, next level of glory. Thank you, Father. We receive divine illumination, divine insight, divine instructions, tangible impartations. Let no life remain the same. Father, thank you for the ministry of angels in this place. Thank you for workings of miracles. Thank you for the move of your spirit. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the reign of revelation. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. That we have sons of oil in the house. I mean he sons and she sons. If we do, they will rejoice. They will celebrate. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Help me welcome the sons of oil to your right and to your left. Say welcome. Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you are enjoying this series, Sons of Oil? Glory to God. Sons of oil are rising, oh. I say sons of oil are rising. In every sphere of life, in all areas, sons of oil are rising. We say oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and His anointing. So when we say sons of oil, we mean the anointed ones. The anointed ones. Zechariah 4:14. The anointed ones, sons of the Spirit, children of the Holy Ghost, sons of the Most High. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are children of prophecy. We are sons of the prophets. Do you know Prophet Isaiah prophesied about you? Oh, the prophets of old, they prophesied about your life. They prophesied about your destiny. Glory to God. May you find the prophecy about your destiny from the pages of scriptures by revelation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then said he, Zechariah 4:14, these are the two anointed ones. The two anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Glory to God. These are the two anointed ones. The anointing will characterize your life. May it be said about you, you are the anointed one. May the anointing characterize your life and destiny. He said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Oh yeah, give me this in Amplified. Glory to God. You will see that expression now, sons of oil. You know, some people saw sons of oil. Say, which one be sons of oil again? They don't come again. Glory to God. It's a prophetic teaching series, and this is where we got it from. In case somebody asks you which one be sons of oil, show them this. Zechariah 4:14 Amplified. It said, then said he, these are the two sons of oil. Glory to God. And who are the two sons of oil? Joshua, number one, the high priest, is a son of oil. And Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah, is the second son of oil in that context. Praise God. Joshua, you know, Joshua and Jesus, they mean the same thing in Hebrew language. How many of you know that? If you are bearing Joshua, you are actually bearing Jesus. Joshua, Jesus, is the same word translated in the Hebrew. Is a Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah, the two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth as his what? Anointed instruments. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So sons of oil are God's anointed instruments. They are God's word, anointed instruments. Now give me, let's look at that same Joshua chapter 6, verse 11. Verse 11, Joshua 6, 11. Give me a new, sorry. Let's go back a bit. Zechariah 4:14. Give me a message translation. There's something I want to bring out there. Zechariah 4:14. The message translation. We've looked at Amplified. He said, these are the two who stand beside the master of the whole earth and supply golden lamp oil worldwide. Is somebody seeing what I'm seeing? He said, these are the two who stand, the two sons of oil, who stand beside the master of the whole earth. Are you aware God owns this earth, not Satan? Not Satan's agent. Our Heavenly Father owns this earth. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting to you? We are the real landlords. We are the real Onile. God owns the whole earth. Our Father is the master of the universe, master of the whole earth, and supply golden lamp oil. Let me say it in Pidgin English parlance, because I say oil, some of you are not getting it. Oil. Golden lamp oil worldwide. Eh? Global oil distributors are rising. See, the oil on your head is not only for your village. It is worldwide. Global, I say it again, global oil distributors are rising from this place. They supply golden lamp oil worldwide. This one is superior to NNPC oil. I say it is superior. It's superior to crude oil. golden lamp oil. Say in the name of Jesus, as an anointed instrument of God, I am a supplier of golden lamp oil worldwide, globally, to all nations, all tribes, all tongues, to the glory of God. Come on, shout amen if you believe that. Now Zechariah 6:11. Zechariah chapter 6 verse what? 11. Give me this in New King James Version. New King James Version. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Zechariah 6:11, NKJV. Take the silver and gold and make an elaborate crown and set it on the head of who? On the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Remember, Joshua is one of the sons of oil we saw, right? The high priest. Next. He said, then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, Baruch. And this is prophetic of Jesus the Messiah. He says, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Next verse. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Hallelujah. Now, he's talking about, in this context, he's talking about Joshua the high priest. He said, make a crown using silver and gold and put it on his head, an elaborate crown. Am I communicating? And then he said, he shall build the temple. He shall sit on a throne as king. I thought he's the high priest. Are you following this? He said, Joshua the high priest should sit on the throne with that golden crown, elaborate crown made with the silver and the gold. He should sit on the throne and he should rule as a king. That means he's both a high priest and he's a king. Is this not prophetic of Jesus? And guess what? The Bible says such a high priest became us. Aya. For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Am I communicating? So this is prophetic, talking about a believer who has been made both a king and a priest, as typified by Jesus Christ himself. Am I communicating? You know, the scriptures are such that they have literal interpretation. They also have prophetic interpretation. In that scripture we just read, literally is talking about who? Joshua the high priest. And he said the high priest should be seated on the throne with a golden crown on his head. He should rule as a king. So he's standing in two offices, both as a priest and as a king. That's a literal interpretation, is Joshua. But the prophetic meaning is talking about Jesus. Am I communicating? And the Jesus and the new lineage, the genealogy that will spring from Jesus, because we are the seed of Abraham. Am I communicating? It's talking about Christ and his body, the body of Christ. Glory to God. And he says, Jesus was made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Glory to God. And the Bible says such a high priest became us. Which kind of high priest? The kind of high priest that is also a king. That's why he said you are a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royalty, talks of kingship. It's a kingdom of priests. Am I communicating? You are a king priest. Let me tell your neighbor, you are a king priest. So both the kingly anointing and the priestly anointing, they are upon you as a son of oil. So that kingly anointing for rulership that Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah, had, am I communicating? And the priestly anointing that Joshua, the high priest, had, you have both of them in one person. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Revelation 1 verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus, by his sacrifice, he has made us kings and priests. And we shall reign, not in heaven, on earth. Am I communicating? Why won't we reign in heaven? Because heaven already has a king. Two kings cannot reign in the same kingdom. You can't reign where Papa God is. Heaven is his domain. In fact, that is why he created man in the first place, so that we have a taste of what it feels like to reign as a king. Am I communicating? The jurisdiction of our reigning is in the earth realm. It says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign where? On earth. Glory to God. Revelation 1:6 is there also in 1:6. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be what? Glory and dominion forever and what? Ever. Glory to God. Last week we looked at the characteristics of the anointing. We said, number one, the anointing is a tangible force. It is perceptible to the touch. It can be felt and it flows. We saw how the woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8:43 to 48, she came with faith in her heart, released through her words and her action. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and the anointing flowed tangibly from Jesus' body through the hem into her body. And she felt within herself, okay, that she was healed of that plague. So the healing anointing upon Jesus that was upon the hem of his garment, okay, was a tangible anointing. It was tangible. Tangible simply means feelable. You know, we don't usually feel the anointing, okay? We sense it with our spirit. But the anointing can be felt. There is such a thing as a tangible anointing. Sometimes the anointing can be so strong that you can feel it. It is perceptible to touch. Am I communicating? So, Jesus was aware. Because he said, who touched me? I felt power, virtue, healing power left me. And the woman, she felt within herself that she was healed of that plague, and the fountain of blood stanched. Jesus was aware of the outflow of the anointing. The woman was aware of what? The reception. So it was a tangible anointing. Number two, we say the anointing is assignment specific. There are different kinds of anointings depending on the purpose of the anointing. Okay? There is a preaching anointing, teaching anointing, prophetic anointing, apostolic anointing, evangelistic anointing, pastoral anointing, prosperity anointing, deliverance anointing. Glory to God. Anointing for worship, anointing for praise, dancing anointing, anointing for Davidic dance. Some of you are laughing. Anointing for entrepreneurship, anointing for business exploits, anointing to make wealth, money anointing. The anointing is assignment specific. It works to accomplish a specific divine purpose. Glory to God. Then number three, we say the anointing is measurable. We say though we have received the anointing without measure in Christ, but the manifestation of that anointing is in measures. Is in measures, in manifestation. There are different degrees or levels of the anointing. Glory to God. We saw that in Ezekiel 47:3-5. He measured 1,000 cubits. The waters were to my ankle. He measured another 1,000 cubits. They were to my knees. He measured another 1,000 cubits to my loins. He measured another 1,000 cubits. It became a river. So you can grow in the anointing. Am I communicating? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How God. He started by saying how God. He's telling you the extent to which Jesus was anointed. It's in levels. The extent. How God. Glory to God. Anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And the anointing is transformative. It produces a positive effect. It is life transforming. Then we said the anointing is transferable. There are laws that govern the impartation. Praise God. And we'll look at those laws next week. The anointing can be communicated through different channels. We say the primary channel for communicating the anointing is through words. Words, spoken words, written words, words in any format. Okay? Words are carriers of the anointing. They are transmitters of the anointing. They are conveyors and communicators of the power of God. Another channel is through the laying on of hands, the law of contact and transmission. Through the laying on of hands or contact, okay? You can transfer the anointing, can transmit it. Then we said the third one is through the use of material mediums. These material mediums, they can act as storage batteries. They can be charged with the anointing, ready to discharge into the recipients. Glory to God. And we looked at examples of this material medium, the anointing oil, clothing materials such as handkerchiefs and aprons. In Acts 19:11, the Bible says handkerchiefs and aprons taken from Apostle Paul brought healing and deliverance when he touched the recipients. Glory to God. Even bones, mantles, etc. We say material mediums should be used in faith. You use them in faith, and then you use them according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So you have to be spirit led in the use of them. You have to use them in faith and based on divine leading. Never use them religiously, and never make a doctrine out of their use. Don't formulate a doctrine out of their use and don't use them religiously. Glory to God. In fact, there was a time Jesus used mud. Remember that man that was born blind? Jesus spat on the ground. He made clay out of the spittle. He literally molded eyeball. Clay, in form of clay, as in he used the clay to mold the eyeball and anointed the eyes. See, you know, some of us, that particular miracle was a creative miracle. That man that was born blind, see, his eye sockets were empty. There were no eyeballs. Some of you don't understand what Jesus did. That miracle was a creative healing miracle. What Jesus did was that he spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, as in he used the clay with his saliva to mold into shape an eyeball and put it. When he said he anointed his eyes, he put it into the empty sockets, and then he said, "Go and wash in the pool." Which pool? in the pool, Siloam, by interpretation, sent. And he went. He obeyed that ridiculous instructions. He obeyed that ridiculous instruction. And he came back seeing. The clay eyeball has turned into real eyeball. Is it not from clay, the ground, that God made human body? Am I communicating? That was a creative miracle. It was more than a healing miracle. Praise God. I say praise God. And then we say the anointing can be stronger or lesser in manifestation. It can be greater or lesser depending on your understanding and obedience to the spiritual laws that govern the flow of the anointing. Praise God. Write this down. The flow of the anointing depends on your capacity. Or let me put it this way. The flow of the anointing depends on the capacity of the container or vessel carrying the oil. The flow of the anointing depends on the capacity of the container or vessel carrying the oil. This is very important. 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 to 7. You remember the story of that widow that was being harassed and embarrassed by her creditor who had come to take her two sons to be bondmen because her husband died. Her husband was a prophet. He died in debt, and he transferred, the debt is now transferred to the family, and she doesn't have the money to pay. Those days they will carry your children, male children, to go and become bondmen. And then this widow woman cried to Prophet Elisha. She cried to Prophet Elisha, and Prophet Elisha said, "What do you have in your house?" I like that statement. Let me ask your neighbor, what do you have in your house? Ask again, what do you have in your house that can bail you out of problem? You are not helpless. You are not hopeless. You have something. I say you have something. He said, what do you have in your house? And that house there, prophetically speaking, is not literal house. You know, the Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So what do you have in your house? I'm asking you. What do you have in your house? She said, nothing except a little jar of oil. Aha! That's the answer. Never despise what you have. You know, it was the same question that God asked Moses. He said, what do you have in your hands? You know, most of the times we tend to despise what we have. We tend to look down on it. We underrate it. But that is what God will anoint. Moses said, it's a little rod. God said, little rod. That rod became the rod of God with which Moses delivered, he parted the Red Sea with that rod. Am I communicating? He delivered over 3 million people out of Egyptian bondage and captivity with that rod. Let me tell your neighbor, stop despising what you have. That gift, that grace, that anointing God has put in your life, God has blessed you with, God has gifted you with. Don't look down on it. Don't look down on it. He said, what do you have in your house? He said, nothing except a little jar of oil. Give me 2 Kings 4. And then Prophet Elisha gave an instruction. He says, go and borrow vessels abroad. Hallelujah. He said, borrow not a few. It was a prophetic instruction. Don't borrow few. And then he said, by the time you get those vessels, carry that little jar of oil. He said, lock the door, you and your sons, with those vessels. And keep pouring. Aya. Manda kabarundo sovrakatanas kale brondos kapa. When thou art coming, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, and upon thy sons shall pour into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. Am I communicating? Next verse. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she what? She poured out. Next verse. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Did you see that the flow of the oil was dependent on the container? As long as there were more vessels, the oil kept pouring. Am I communicating? So you see that the flow of the anointing, the flow of the oil was dependent on the capacity of the vessels. Am I communicating? You need to learn to build capacity to become better conductors of the anointing. You must learn to what? Build capacity. As long as there were vessels, the oil kept flowing. She kept pouring. Am I communicating? The moment the son brought the last vessel, because God does not like waste. I say God does not like waste. The moment the last vessel got filled, the oil stopped pouring. Because if it keeps pouring, no more vessel, what will happen? It will waste. It will pour on the ground. It's the same principle. Enlarge your heart. You know, on Friday I was talking about the necessity of what? Building capacity. Glory to God. Enlargement of heart. You must build the requisite spiritual capacity for the anointing. You must build the required mental capacity. You must build the required character capacity. The required visionary capacity. You must have the wisdom capacity, because the oil will always take the shape of its container. You didn't hear me. I said the oil will always take the shape of what? Its container. And that container is talking of your capacity, your mindset, your mentality, your belief system, your character, your spiritual capacity, your level of wisdom. Am I communicating? This is very important. In 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 16 to 17, it says, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, dig ditches, dig ditches. He said, God is going to send water. 2 Kings, not 1 Kings, 2 Kings 3:16. Hallelujah. The importance of building capacity. He said, make this valley full of ditches. Look at this. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with what? Water. Water is a type of the anointing, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. Look up. Here is the principle. God will send the water, but you must dig the ditches. The ditches is talking of the what? Carrying capacity for the anointing. Am I communicating? Because when water flows like this, it will be trapped in the ditches for you people to drink. So the number of ditches and the size of the ditches you dig determines how much more water you can trap. Am I communicating? For both you and your cattle to drink. So God will release the anointing depending on the capacity you have built. Am I communicating? God will send the water. He will give you the water, but it is your responsibility to what? Build capacity, as in dig the ditches. God will ensure that the oil keeps flowing as you are pouring. God's responsibility is to keep multiplying the oil supernaturally to keep flowing as long as there are vessels to fill it. It is your responsibility to provide the vessels, and the number of vessels and the size of the vessels determines how much you get at the end of the day. So the woman became a licensed oil distributor. From a debtor, she became an oil mogul. Oil business started now. Because he said, go and sell, pay your debt, sell the rest, live on the rest. She became an oil distributor. Am I communicating? You remember the first miracle Jesus performed at a wedding at Canaan in Galilee? The Bible says there were set how many jars? Those big, this thing like that, containing water for the purification of the Jews. They use for ablution, washing their leg. Am I communicating? There were six of it. And when they needed wine got finished. Jesus said, fill the water pot with water. That was the instruction. Am I communicating? So they fill all the six with water. And then Jesus now gave another instruction. He said, draw from it and go and give the governor, the MC. And the Bible said, when they drew and went, water turned to wine on the road of obedience. And the MC said, chai, this is nice. Say people kept the best wine for the last. He said, people did it the opposite. Say people usually start with the best wine. Then when others are drunk, and then they will now start bringing the one that are not good. He said, but you people did the opposite. He said, you have left the best wine for the last, not knowing this one was brewed in supernatural brewery. Holy Ghost, am I communicating? But the point I want you to note is that how many jars of wine did they get? Six. Why six? Because that was a container. If they had filled 50, it would have been 50 jars. If they had filled 100, it would have been 100 jars. So God will turn your water into wine, but it's your responsibility to what? Supply the container to carry the wine. Am I communicating? And wine is a type of the Holy Ghost and the anointing. Glory to God. Let me tell you about build capacity. One of the capacities you must build for the anointing is your character. Very important. Your character. Listen, your character is the foundation, very important foundation for walking in the anointing successfully. Character flaws and character defects can make an anointed person to be destroyed over time. Is that serious? Am I communicating? You know, in building technology, they will tell you that the superstructure is a function of the substructure. As in, you cannot, for instance, lay foundation for a two-bedroom flat. And then in the process of building the two-bedroom, maybe God bless you with more money. You now change your mind. So I'm no longer building two-bedroom. I'm building a 10-story building skyscraper. After you've already laid foundation for what? Two-bedroom flat. Now, if you build 10-story building skyscraper on that foundation for two-bedroom flat, what will happen? The building will collapse. You will commit suicide or murder. Which one now? I don't know. You kill yourself. You understand? Why? Because that foundation was not designed to carry what? The weight of the building. Guess what? That foundation is like your character. You know, sometimes when some of you pray, Father, more anointing, more anointing, God is looking at your foundation. God is looking at it. Say, my son, my son. If I anoint you more than this one, you will crash, or you will collapse. Am I communicating? Let me tell you about build your character so that you can carry the weight of the anointing. This is why God takes people through the school of the Spirit. This is why God trains his men. Every son of oil must be well trained. And one important area of training is your character. Some of you, small thing you don't vex like Vespa. Small thing you are angry. Hi, and you are asking for more anointing. So that even in AGMI, you can turn somebody into a tuber of yam. If God anoints you the way you are saying, the way you desire. With this anger problem. he just said, you, yam. The best you will turn into yam. That's why God will not give you that anointing, no. Until you work on your anger problem. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, work on your character. So that you don't end up like Samson. Who Delilah gave him his haircut. And he became a pepper grinder. The deliverer of Egypt. Sorry, I say Egypt. The deliverer of Israel. You know, Samson had Dada, this dreadlock. He was a Nazarite. Am I communicating? And that was one of the symbols of his consecration. Right from birth, the angel of the Lord had appeared to Mr. and Mrs. Manoah, the parents of Samson. And they had given him the rule of his life. That this, he said, don't drink, oh. He said, don't take alcohol. This was part of the consecration. The angel told the mother, and he said, don't take alcohol, oh. He said, this boy, you should never use razor on his head. Don't barb his head. He's going to be a Nazarite. Am I communicating? So Samson had dreadlock like that. You understand? I think they were like, how many? Seven. They were symbols of his consecration. And it was Delilah that caught that thing. It was Delilah. Say, Samson, show me the secret of your power. She pressed on him. Initially, he was deceiving her. He said, if they use fresh rope. God, but Samson said, Mumu. Hi. The guy, Mumu. He deceived her initially, and she went and called them, the Philistines. They were hiding somewhere. He said, tie him. He said, I found the secret. Tie him. He said, if they tie him with fresh rope and all of that. And then she now shouted, Samson, the Philistine upon you. My guy just, he just, as in the thing, the way this thing, they melt, like the way fire, the thing will just come out like that. Now, is that not, shouldn't that give him enough sense that this woman go kill me? This woman will kill me? I just told her my secret and look at what she did. Didn't he have enough wisdom? You need to, build your wisdom capacity alongside your character capacity. If Samson had wisdom and good character, he would not have lost his two eyes. He wouldn't have been captured by the Philistine. But thank God for the mercy of God. The thing started growing later. When he got angry, they have mocked him too much. They are now using him for sport. They plucked out his eyes. He now told the little person, a little lad, he said, take me to the pillar that is carrying the whole building. Put me there. Samson then prayed to God. Samson prayed to God. and ask for the mercy of God. He said, God, anoint me this one last time. Let me die. You see, God is a merciful God. He was the one that chose to die with them. If he had not added, let me die with the Philistine, God would have spared him. Do you know that? Eh? So when you are praying, be careful what you are saying. No? He said, let me die with the Philistine. And with all his strength. And by then, his dreadlock was growing back. God anointed him again in his mercy. And the guy brought down the whole building. And the Bible says the people he killed in that event was more than all the one he has been killing in his lifetime. But Samson would not have died if he had wisdom and good character. Am I communicating? Some of you, small anointing, your eye, woman. You know, go leave women alone. And you're asking for more anointing. You go die. I told you last week that the anointing attracts women. So if you've not built your character, if you lack integrity, sexual integrity, moral integrity, you'll be in trouble. Am I communicating? The anointing will get corrupted. Before you start demanding, like they say they do in South Africa, you now demand for which one now? White warmer. Your own, you not just demand only white warmer, you want white warmer, black warmer. Which one again? Which color? All these Indian people, what's their color? Brown warmer. Only you. Say not me in Jesus' name. So you work on all those weakness, all those things, lust. All those weaknesses. Love for money. Chai. Some of you like money too much. And you want more anointing. You become like Judas. You know Judas? Judas, with all the things that he saw around Jesus, the only one that he was interested in was the commercialization of the anointing. Judas, all he was interested in is in the commerce in the anointing. How we can make merchandise of the anointing. He was a thief. He was always stealing from the bag, as if that was not enough. He stole and stole and stole until he sold his master because of money. Spirit of Mammon. Am I communicating? Greed. Greed and covetousness. You remember the master, the servant of Gehazi? Elisha's servant. Who remembers Gehazi? Gehazi. You remember how he collected leprosy for him and his generation? Yes, now, instead of, Elisha collect double portion from Elijah, his master. Which, how many portion this one is he supposed to collect? Gehazi is supposed to collect how many portion? But what did he collect? Leprosy for him and for his generation. Why? Because of greed, covetousness. Naaman, the Syrian general, mighty man of valor, with a long list of conquests, but he had a limitation. He was a leper. And then one of his maid, that was an Israelite, a little maid, she, thank God, maybe, I believe they were good to her. for her to even give that suggestion. Eh? So don't maltreat all this your house help and all of that, okay? Some of them can give you valuable suggestion that will become the solution to your age-long problem. The little maid then said, "Oh, I wish my master will go to the prophet in Israel called Elisha. He said he will cure him of this his leprosy." Oh. They followed her advice. Naaman came with his entourage and so many gifts, money, clothes, different things. And then Prophet Elisha did not even wait for him to come to his house. He sent a message to him. He said, "Go and tell him, you should go and dip inside River Jordan." Eh? How many times? 7 times. Somebody say prophetic instruction. He said, "And he will be cleansed of the leprosy." Initially, Naaman was offended out of his ego and his pride. He said, "What? Which kind of thing is this? The man of God no even see me. And of all the waters, of all the rivers in the world, is it River Jordan, the one that has algae and fungi and all those smelling river? Are there no better water rivers in my area? Why did he tell me to go to River Damascus?" And then he was listing other rivers that were better. He got angry. He said, "I know they go. Thank God for his servants that are wise." They say, "Sir, excuse sir. Say, if he had told you to do something more difficult." Say, now you need healing, no? Now you need help. Now you need solution. Say, if he had told you to do something more difficult, wouldn't you have done it? And I say, "Kai, not true, not true." He now kept his pride aside. Decided to obey that prophetic instruction. He went and dip 7 times. He was healed totally of leprosy. He now came to appreciate the man of God. Came with so many gifts, money, clothes, this one. And then Prophet Elisha was not led to receive them. He said, "No, he's not going to accept any of those gifts." He said, "Go back to your country. Tell the people how good God has been to you. He had mercy on you, healed you." Chai! Your guy was there. You know the guy? The servant of Elisha, Gehazi. Chai! He said, "My master have speared this Syrian." He said he speared him. You know Balaam. Aye! He speared him. He said, "How can he spear him? See money, see clothes, see designers." Say, "My master have speared Naaman." Say, "Me, I no go spear him, I swear. I no go spear him." Say, "Excuse, sir, I won't go peace." He took excuse, left the master's presence. He went after Naaman the Syrian and his entourage. Ran after him. He said, "My master gave me a message for you. He said, he just received some visitors. He said, you should give me some of those things." And the generous Naaman gave him double, more than what he asked. He now collected everything and went and hid it. After hiding it, he now came back before the master. Say, "Hey, I don't finish peace, I don't come back." People can lie. Praise God. Somebody say greed. Somebody say covetousness. You now understand why the rod of Prophet Elisha did not work in the hand of Gehazi. Can you remember when that is it the Shunammite woman now? Her son died. Can you remember? He said, "Is all well with you?" He said, all is well, until she saw the prophet. He said, "All is not well, oh. That son that you prophesied, he has died." Prophet Elisha gave instruction. He said, "Carry my rod, Gehazi. Don't greet anybody. If anybody greets you, don't answer. Go straight. Go to where the son is. And then put my rod on him. The son will wake up." He went, obeyed everything. The son did not wake up. You know, I read that story. I didn't understand why the rod did not work in the hand of Gehazi until I later saw who Gehazi was. Ah, he was a greedy man.
He was a covetous man. No wonder the rod did not work in his hands. His hands were polluted with greed and covetousness. Am I communicating? That was why the thing did not work. Elisha had to go himself and pray over that son, and then he came back to life. Am I communicating? Shabaka sabalatia. Embresko teliga barakatai. Prophet Elisha looked at him. He said, did not my spirit go with you? Have you forgotten that I'm a prophet? You know, sometimes people forget that you are a man of God. You know, there are some of you that have lied to me. I won't mention names, but I knew it was a lie. I knew. Out of love, I just smiled as if you were saying the truth, but I knew it was a lie. You know, sometimes some of you forgot that we are men of God. He said, did not my heart go with you? He think I did not see you? When you lied, when Naaman came down, he gave you all those things, you collected it, you went and hid it. He said, now, this is the verdict. The leprosy of Naaman shall cleave to you and your generation. You know, Gehazi was just like Judas. Two of them were under the grip of the spirit of Mammon, full of greed and covetousness. Am I communicating? God doesn't anoint people like that, or else the kingdom will suffer loss. Am I communicating? So you deal with the love of money. Am I communicating? You cannot love money and love God at the same time. It does not work. Like I always say, God wants you to have money, but he doesn't want money to have you. Money having you means you have come under the controlling influence of the spirit of Mammon. Money now dictates to you everything you do. Mammon is occupying the place of God in your heart, and that's not the will of God for you. Am I communicating? So build your character. Tell your neighbor, build your character. Have integrity. Verbal integrity, sexual integrity. Stop doing Bible study with the opposite sex at 9 p.m. in your house. Only two of you. Which kind of Bible study is that one? Say, you know, I'm trying to explain something from the book of Corinthians to her. She said she didn't understand. Then later, two of you are on the bed. Then later, you are crying. Hey, Father, forgive me. You are foolish. What does the Bible say? It says, flee what? You know, I gave you people a very simple formula. Christian brothers and sisters in courtship, in relationship. I always say this. I say, look, if you are in a relationship with somebody, and if you set boundaries, as in you avoid visiting each other, just two of you alone in the house, whether it is your house or a house, just avoid that kind of situation that is only two of you that are in the house alone. Do you know that if you can do that, your chances of having a fornication, your chance of falling to sexual immorality is reduced to more than 99%. It's very difficult. How can you have sex? Will you have sex on the street, on the road? Is there any, but two of us want to have intimate discussion. We don't want anybody. Go and do it outdoor. Yes, go to wildlife park. Yes. Do it there. Shawarma and grills. Southern fried chicken. Where again? Jaws Museum. Go and do it there. Not in your room, two of you. Because that is where most sex happens. I'm telling you, see, this simple wisdom, some people will not listen. And that is why they will fall to fornication. Because of their foolishness and refusal to obey instruction, to listen to instruction. If you can obey this simple instruction, you will not fall a victim of fornication before marriage. Avoid any situation that is only two of you alone in the room. Simple. You want to go and visit him? Go with your friend as a lady. You want to go and visit your guy in his house? Go with your friend. And that friend must not under any circumstance leave. As the friend is leaving, you two, you are living together. It's as simple as that. Praise God. Thou shalt not lie. Verbal integrity. Let your yea be what? Yea. Let your nay be what? Good morning be what? Good morning. You know, some people, when they say good morning, you have to check whether it is really morning. Praise God. As you are laughing, character is a very important foundation for the anointing. That's why I'm taking my time to emphasize it. Then you also need wisdom. You need wisdom in walking in the anointing. You think it's everything God shows me that I say? This is where some prophets have acted foolishly. I've listened to some prophets that they lack wisdom. They are anointed, though. Yes, they are not fake. They are genuinely anointed. But they lack wisdom in dispensing the anointing. So everything they see, they will say, until they have scattered marriages. Because of lack of what? Wisdom. They have caused problems. In fact, some of them, police have arrested them after this. after they have prophesied, police came and arrested them. What was their problem? They lack wisdom. Not be everything you see, your mouth go talk. There are some things that you don't say it publicly. There are some things that you meet the person one-on-one after the service, and then you talk to the person. It's not for public consumption. Am I communicating? Just imagine in a meeting, God opened the eyes of some a man of God, and he saw this one, that this man has not been faithful to his wife. The man, they play away match. He saw it clearly. Now, lack of wisdom. He now opened his mouth and said it. And the wife is in the service. Or even if the wife is not in the service, won't people tell the wife? Or maybe the wife, she has a child that she did not tell the husband before they got married. She has a child. She gave birth to that child out of wedlock, gave her mother, grandmother in the village to take care of the child. She hid that secret from the husband. And then in this meeting, the prophet says, Madam, you say you have how many children? Two. Say no, I dey see three. There's another one. In that village, you're there with your grandmother. Then the husband is checking like this, looking at his wife. Eh? And then, what do you think will happen after that service? Somebody say lack of wisdom. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 52. You will see that Jesus grew in wisdom before the anointing came upon him. Watch this. Jesus increased in what? In wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and what? In man. Jesus built wisdom capacity. Then in Luke 4:14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. So before power came, Jesus grew in wisdom so that he will know how to dispense the power with wisdom. Am I communicating? Are you learning something?
Tell your neighbor again, build capacity. This is very crucial. Write this down. Walking in the anointing. This will bless you. Operating in the anointing. Functioning in the anointing. Walking in the anointing. In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How do I walk in the anointing? How do I operate or function in the anointing? Number one, the first key I'll give you is spiritual thirst and hunger. Hallelujah. Spiritual what? Thirst and hunger. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Spiritual thirst and hunger. What is spiritual thirst or spiritual hunger? Spiritual thirst and hunger means a deep and desperate desire, passionate longing and craving for God's presence. You have a deep and desperate desire, a passionate longing and craving for God. You are God hungry. You are passionate. You crave and you are desperate for His presence in your life. Am I communicating? Is the number one key to walking in the anointing. Isaiah 55:1. It says, oh, everyone that tasted, the anointing comes upon thirsty hearts. God specializes in filling thirsty and hungry hearts with His presence and power. I take it again. God specializes in filling thirsty and hungry hearts with His presence and His power. Hallelujah. Amen. You must be hungry for it. You must be thirsty for it. It says, oh, everyone that tasted, come ye to the waters. He that hath no physical money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So, if you are buying and it's not physical money you are using to buy, what then are you using to buy? Somebody says spiritual test. The currency, the spiritual currency for this purchase is spiritual hunger, spiritual test. Spiritual test and hunger is spiritual currency for transaction in the realm of the spirit. You must be highly desirous of the anointing. I say you must be highly desirous of the anointing. It was Bishop Dagwood Mills that said, the anointing doesn't just fall on you like ripe cherries. You must be hungry for it. Hunger is like a magnet. In Isaiah 44 verse 3. He says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. God speaking, I will pour waters, the water of the anointing, upon him that is thirsty. Upon him that is thirsty. And floods upon dry ground, the floods of the spirit. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. Spiritual test and spiritual hunger is the number one key to the anointing. You must desire it desperately. You must pursue it passionately. You know, the proof of desire is pursuit. Am I communicating?
Pursue the anointing more than money. Pursue the anointing more than anything. Am I communicating?
Isaiah 41 verse 17. Isaiah 41 verse 17. It says, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue filleth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them. I the God of Israel will not forsake them. Verse 18. I will open rivers in high places. The rivers of the Spirit. The rivers of the anointing. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Listen, God will always respond to sincere hunger and thirst. God will always fill every hungry heart. The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. They shall be filled with the presence and power of God. They shall be filled. Am I communicating? This is very important. Psalm 107 verse 9. It satisfied the hungry heart with good things. God satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with what? Goodness. Goodness. Psalm 42 verse 1. David said, as a deer. You see, David was a man that walked in the anointing. So he knew some of the secrets of the anointing. There's so much to learn about the anointing if you study the life of David. David was a man that was thirsty for God. He was a man that was hungry for God's presence. It was David that said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Am I communicating? It was David that said that. In Psalm 42 verse 1, it says, as the hart or the deer panted after the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. Next verse. It says, my soul, watch this, tested for God. My soul tested for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Can you see how hungry David was for the presence of God in his life? Give me Psalm 63 verse 1. It says, O Lord my God, early, O God, thou art my God, early. Somebody say early. Early will I seek thee. When you are thirsty and hungry for God, you will seek him early. First thing, when you wake up, you will seek him early. You won't seek him late. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It's not water that he's looking for. It's not physical thirst. Am I communicating? It's spiritual thirst. It's not physical hunger. It is what? Spiritual hunger. Glory to God. Next verse. It said, to see thy power and thy glory. It's those that are thirsty and hungry that we see his power and his glory manifested in their life. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Psalm 84. Psalm 84 verse 2. Malakosa brandeke baladia. David was a man that understood that spiritual hunger and thirst is a major key to the anointing. He said, my soul longed, he even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. What is your heart panting after? Eh? What is your heart crying out for? For David, it is for God. No wonder God anointed him the way God did. Am I communicating? This is very important. For some people, their heart is after money, is panting after. Give them money, they won't come for this service. As if there is any
If they have something else to do that will bring them money, they will forgo this service. I'm telling you the truth. You know, some people say they love God, but it is your action that shows whether you love God or not. It's not just your words. Am I communicating? If service clashes with your football match, your club, will you still come? If somebody fixes a business deal with you, multi-million naira business that will turn you into a millionaire, and is clashing with time for service, will you still come? That's the truth. It shows us what your heart is after. Your priorities reveal what you truly love. The proof of desire is pursuit. In that Psalm 63 verse 8, David said, "My heart followeth hard after God." Oh, I like this. "My soul followeth hard after thee." It didn't say my soul followeth hard after money. It didn't say my soul followeth hard after anything else. It said my soul followeth what? Hard after thee. I always tell people that in choosing a job, any job that will not allow you serve God, I'm telling you, leave that job. Look for another one. Yes, no matter how much is the salary. Any job. See, in choosing a job, the first thing to look at is not the salary. Check whether will this thing give me opportunity to serve God? Will this job give me opportunity to serve God? What is the impact on my spiritual life? Is it positive or negative? Will this job allow me fulfill my divine purpose and advance the kingdom? If the answer is yes, go for it. But if the answer is no, don't go for it. Because you can get a job, they are paying you arm robber salary. You know arm robber salary? I mean fat salary. But it's not allowing you to serve God. You notice your spiritual life is drying up. You are not you can't even read your Bible again. You are not praying. This you can't fulfill purpose with this job. You can't advance the kingdom. Then what are you doing there? You will die. Leave that job before it destroys you. Forget about the salary. Am I communicating? This is very important. Any job that will take you away from the presence of God is not a good job. Say, hey, you work. Even Sunday, you go to work. No time for God. Which kind of work is that? Even God rested on the Sabbath day. I say, even God. The one that does not grow weary or tired. He rested in order to give us what? A template, a precedence to follow. Praise God. Jeremiah 29:13. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with what? All your heart." I'm giving you the secret to the anointing. Honestly, seek God with all your heart. Go after God with all your heart. Give me this in Message translation. This is the number one law of divine encounter. He said, "When you come looking for me, you will find me." Yes. When you get serious. The problem with some of us, we are not serious. He said, "When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else." Can you come to the point in your life that you want God more than anything else? You want God more than anything else. Any boyfriend that is distracting you from serving God, break off from that boyfriend. It's not your husband. Did you hear what I just said? This is a word for somebody. Because some of you want to serve God. I'm talking to the ladies now, the unmarried lady. You want to serve God, but you notice that this particular guy, you say he's your boyfriend, you are in a relationship, is not helping you to serve God. In fact, it's a distraction to you. And I say you are coming to, he say, "Church again? Church. You every time now you go church." Any relationship that you notice is killing your spiritual life, just know that it's not the will of God. You don't even need to pray. I've already given you the answer. Did you hear what I just said? Any relationship that is killing your spiritual life is not making you to serve God. Go and end it. Just know that it is not the will of God. Period. Am I communicating? He said, you want it more than anything else. You know, I got to a point in my life that I desired the anointing. One day, I was a medical student. Let me give you this story. It will help you. I was a medical student. I just became hungry for God. I became thirsty and hungry. I just wanted more of Him. I was passing through that Living Faith main church. The headquarters in Jos. You know, they used to sell books. Those bookshop, they sell books and some tape. I just entered one of the bookstop, and then I saw some books like that. But I saw one particular video. It was a DVD collection of crusades. It was Pastor Chris Oyakhilome and some of his crusades across the world. I just bought it in addition to some other materials. I went to my room. I played that video. And then I saw those crusades. I saw the power of God. I saw the healings, the miracle, the move of the Spirit. And something in my heart was panting. Something in my heart. I became so hungry. And then at a point, I can't explain what happened to me. It's as if something struck my head like thunderbolt. The power of God came upon me in that room. Am I communicating? It's as if they mix hot oil, boiling oil. It's as if somebody was pouring it on my head down like that. And then it's as if they connected my body to electricity. All these things were happening in my room. I had this encounter. And before you know, I was knocked down under the anointing. I was just shaking. The power of God came upon me that day. I was just vibrating. I don't know for how long I was like that. And I knew I received something that day from that encounter. Because that same evening, I went with my friend for an outreach in Command Secondary School. I didn't know the enormity of what I had received until we went for that meeting. And that day, my friend, he said I should preach, I should minister. And then when I ministered, the power of God broke out. It was as if a revival happened in that school. The move of the Spirit was mighty. I've never seen God move like that before. I knew that it was the impartation I received that same day before I came. It shifted me. Am I communicating? What was the magnet? Somebody says spiritual hunger. Somebody says spiritual test. Number two. A deep love for God. John 14:21. You want to walk in the anointing. You need to love God above all else. You need a deep love for God. You see, the two are related. When you are thirsty and hungry for God, it will make you to start loving God. Am I communicating? Hunger and thirst is actually a manifestation of love, in a sense. Am I communicating? You need a deep love for God. John 14:21. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Give me this in Amplified. You want to see God manifest himself to you? You want to see the manifestation of God's presence and power? You need to love God deeply. You need to love God deeply. Wholeheartedly. Unfeigned love for God. Am I communicating? He said, I will let myself to be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Hallelujah. And that's the secret of the anointing. Then in verse 23, he said, Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our abode, our special dwelling place with him. Hallelujah. And he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of what? The Almighty. You want to be a carrier of his presence and power, you need to love God deeply. Love him more than anything else and more than everything else. I love God more than I love anybody. I love God more than I love everything else. I love you, but I love God more than I love you. Are you listening? Your love for God matters a lot. You know, in 1 John 4:19, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. First of all, you need to know and understand the love of God and receive of that love. You need a revelation of God's love. You need to have faith in God's love for you. You need to receive of his love. Then you now reciprocate by loving God back. Am I communicating? We love him because he first loved us. God is looking for lovers. Sons of oil are passionate lovers of God. They are passionate lovers of the things of God. They are passionate lovers of his presence. Am I communicating? They don't just visit the presence, they live there. They dwell there. He that dwelleth, not he that visited. Am I communicating? Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3. You know, Songs of Solomon is a prophetic book. You know, if you read at it contextually, it looks like a romantic relationship between Solomon and his lover, right? Eh? But prophetically, is a romantic relationship between Christ and his bride. Yes. Yes. Is a romantic relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. So, he says, because of the savour of thy ointment, thy name is poured forth. Okay, give me verse, as the Songs of Solomon 2 verse 16. Jump to 2 verse 16. Let me show you something there. He said, my beloved is mine and I am his. He calls him my beloved. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feeded among the lilies. My beloved is mine and I am his. Is a relationship between Christ and the church. Am I communicating? When you become a passionate lover of God, he said, my beloved. God is like God saying, my beloved is mine and I am his. So, do you think that God will withhold the anointing from you? Everything he has, he will give you. Somebody said, love for God. You see it again in Songs of Solomon 6 verse 3. Give me 6 verse 3. He said, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feeded among the lilies. Then 7 verse 10. Songs of Solomon 7 verse 10. I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. When you love God, your desire will be towards him. I say, when you love God, your desire will be towards him. Your affection. Your heart will long and pant after him. Hallelujah. Next verse, 11. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Two people in love. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish. Whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranate bud forth, there will I give thee my loves, in plural, my loves. When last did you give God your loves? Hallelujah. I say, when last did you give God your loves, in plural? Next verse. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Hallelujah. Say, I receive grace to love God passionately above all else. Grace to love God more and more. In Ephesians 3:17, Apostle Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. Look at what he said. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, comma. Next verse. He says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ. You know the love of Christ by revelation, which passeth knowledge or gnosis. That's scientific knowledge. That ye might be filled with all what? The fullness of God. Do you want to walk in the fullness of God? He said the key is love. Love is the key to walking in the fullness of God. Love is the key to manifesting the fullness of God. What are the proof of love? What are the proof of love? If you love God, you will obey Him. Number one, if you love God, you will obey Him. Look at it in John 14, verse 21. He that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Then in verse 23 again, Amplified. If you check 23 in Amplified, the number one proof of love is obedience. The number one proof of love is obedience. Jesus said, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word. He will obey my teaching. Glory to God. So you don't just love by word of mouth, okay? You have to prove it by your action of obedience. Glory to God. If you love God, you will obey Him. You will obey His word. You will obey His voice. You will obey His leadings. You will obey His promptings. John 2:5, whatever He tells you to do, do it. For instance, you can't say you love me, but you don't obey whatever I tell you. It doesn't work like that. You can't prove that you love me with your mouth, but by your action, you disobey my instructions. It doesn't work. The proof of love is what? Obedience. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. If you love God, you will obey His voice. You will obey His leadings. You will obey His instructions. What has He told you to do? Do it. Obedience may be costly, but the end result is priceless. Am I communicating? Obedience may be costly, but what? The end result is priceless. Learn to trust God. It's easy to obey God when you trust Him. Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own, unto your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him. And He will what? Direct your path. Allow God to lead you. Okay? In John 15:10, it says, John 15:10, he's still talking about obedience as a proof of love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. The second proof of love is that if you love God, you will love His word. If you love God, you will love His word. You will love His word. You will read your Bible. You will study His word. Is it, this Bible is God's love letter to you. How many of you, please, we are in the presence of God. How many of you, those days there were no phones. love letter. Especially the guys. You wrote love letter to your beloved. We are in the presence of God. Oh, let me just see hand. Okay, it don't do. Now, for the ladies, how many of you received love letters? Those love text messages, chats. Now, let me ask you, true. Did you read it only once? You read it more than once, true or false? If anytime you read it, you'll be smiling. You just like that sweet feeling. It's making you feel special. Say, my feet must be hurting because you've been racing through my mind throughout last night. Hey, see line. You read it more than once now. You read it over and over again. You are enjoying the sweet feeling because it's making you feel special. Now, look up. Your lover that is madly in love with you, Jesus, he wrote a book. This is his love letter to you. God's love letter. The God that is so in love with you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved you that he killed himself to prove his love for you. He now wrote a love letter called Bible to you. Yet some of you are not reading it. That's an error. Look at David. Psalm 119 verse 27. Let David talk to us. A man that loved God. It says 119 verse what? Okay, give me, is it 72 or 127? 127. Give me 127. Verse 127. Shabalako sovrahatila. It says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. Gold is money. How many of you love God's word more than money? You know what? I once told you that one of the signs that you are beginning to grow and mature is that you will start loving God's word more than money. Yes. By your actions, though, not just mouth. Mm. David was a man that understood the importance of God's word. He says he loves the word of God above gold, above money. If you put money here, you put God's word here, David will choose God's word no matter the amount of money. Because he values the word of God more than money. Was it not the word of God that created the whole world, including all the silver and gold? The creator and the creation, which one is more important? Which one is superior? Yet some of you, if they say choose one, you go choose money, leave word. Even Job said, I have esteemed the word of his mouth above my necessary food. Kai, the word of God, which is spiritual food, Job said, I esteem it above my necessary food. And you know he was a rich man, so his food is all this assorted food. He said the word of God is higher. Give God's word high premium. If you love God, you will love his word. You will read his word every day. You will study it. You will meditate on it. You will live by it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceed out of the mouth of God. Give me that Psalm 119 verse 162. Psalm 119 verse 162. What does it say? I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. When last did you rejoice at God's word? When last did you exclaim, hey! It's only when your team score goal that you shout. When you encounter revelation from this word, do you rejoice? Am I communicating? When you listen to messages and you receive rhema, do you rejoice? All those eureka moments. Oh, you only shout when you see a lot. Psalm 119 verse 97. Learn to rejoice at the word of God. How I love that. It's my meditation all the day. It says, David said, the word of God is his meditation throughout the day. He loves God's word. Then next, if you love God, you will love his house. I'm showing you the proof of love. Number one, if you love God, you will obey him. If you love God, number two, you will love his word. Number three, if you love God, you will love his house. You will love the church, the body of Christ. Psalm 122 verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad when it is time to come to church? Are you glad when going for service? Or you put on mourning face? Oh, they say, we could come again. We have come again. Are you getting me? David said, I was glad. I was glad. You should be happier when going to the house of God than going anywhere else. So if you use football viewing center, you are happy when you are going there than you are when you are coming to church. You are happier watching movies than when you are coming to church. Something is wrong with you. You need to change your value system. Am I communicating? Nothing should excite you more than God and the things of God. The house of God. David said, I was glad. Because he knows that the house of God is a place of the oil. We saw it. It's coming for service. You are being serviced. You are receiving fresh oil so that you can go and manifest. Am I communicating? Psalm 36 verse 8. He said, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness. That fatness there is the anointing, oh. Eh? Shemen. Doshen. The synonym for fatness. Two special anointings. They have this synonym, fatness. It says, shall be abundantly satisfied with the anointing of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. So why won't you be excited when it's time to go to the house of God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's for your good. Next, if you love God, you will love his kingdom. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be what? Added to you. If you love God, you will love his kingdom. You will advance his kingdom passionately. You will invest in his kingdom business. In Luke 2:49, Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? When you love God, you will be about his kingdom business. Hallelujah. Next, if you love God, you will love people. You will love humanity for whom Jesus died. Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you love God, you will love people. You will love humanity. You will love the people for whom Christ died. You can't say you love God and you hate human beings. Impossible. Impossible. It says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We know your love for God by your love for souls. We know you love God by your passion for souls, your love for souls, and your effort in reaching out to the lost. Glory to God. I never do any broadcast without making altar call. Messages, even here I preach, I end it with altar call. Avalanche of Good News broadcast, I must make altar calls. And people have been saved, through of us. If you love God, you will love souls. 1 John 4:19. He said, we love him because he first loved us. And then he went ahead to explain, verse 20. He says, if a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, watch this. He said, he's a liar. You can't love God and hate your brother. He said, you are lying. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So if you love God, we will see it in the demonstration of your love to your fellow human being. Am I communicating? Your love for people is the external proof of your internal love for God. That's what the Bible says. Glory to God. Then you need to understand that love is the badge of the new creation. How many of you went to school, primary and secondary school? You have badge, right? Me, I remember my primary school badge. They say knowledge is power. They usually, the motto close to the badge like that, knowledge is power. Now, it's through that badge that they identify you as a what? A pupil or student of that school. Now, for the new creation in Christ, for the believer, love is our badge. John 13, verse 34. John 13, verse what? 34 and 35. Look at what Jesus said. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35. He said, by this, that's by loving one another, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Love is the badge of every true disciple of Christ. The number one sign that you are a disciple of Jesus is your love walk. Am I communicating? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciple, if ye have what? Love one for what? One for another. Glory to God. And you see, before most of Jesus' outstanding miracle, you will hear that phrase, and Jesus was moved with what? Compassion. And then he healed the sick. He was moved with compassion. He multiplied the bread and fishes to feed the multitude. Jesus was moved with compassion. Listen, compassion unlocks the flow of the rivers of the anointing. Compassion for the sick activates the healing anointing into manifestation. Compassion for the poor activates the anointing for prosperity, to prosper the poor, to help them. You see, the essence of the anointing is to help people. And the key that undams that river is compassion, a compassionate heart of love. Am I communicating? What you cannot feel, you cannot heal. Compassion for suffering humanity. Compassion for hurting humanity. I have so much compassion for the oppressed, for the sick. I just hate it. When, you know, sometimes when I see somebody that is oppressed by the devil, just seeing them, I just become angry. Not at them, oh. I'm angry at the oppression. I'm sensing it in my spirit. You know, it's getting me mad. Am I communicating? I have a lot of compassion for the sick. When I see sick people, sometimes it just activates the healing anointing. Even if it's in a movie. Honestly, even if it's in a movie. Movie that was acted. Compassion. I hate to see people suffer. Somebody say compassion. It unlocks the rivers of the anointing. If you love God, you will love the people for whom he died. Then if you love God, you will give and make sacrifices for him. Giving and sacrifice is the chief proof of love. Okay, I'll come to this in details later. What's the first key to the anointing I gave you? Number one, spiritual test and hunger. Number two, a deep love for what? For God. Number three, the third key is intimacy with God. Fellowship with God. communion with God. You must learn to spend time with God. Intimacy with God. Listen, the anointing is a byproduct of rich fellowship with God. The anointing is a fruit of deep fellowship with God. It's one of the fruit. It's one of the byproducts. When you are intimate with God, you don't beg for the anointing. There must be a rub-off. In the process of that intimacy, in the process of that fellowship, that communion with the Holy Ghost, there is a rub-off. You are smeared with the anointing. Am I communicating? Intimacy with God. 2 Corinthians 13:14. It said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the what? Communion or fellowship or intimacy, partnership of the Holy Ghost be with you. In John 15:1-8, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, my Father is the vine dresser. Am I communicating? Is the vine dresser or the husbandman taking care of the vine? He said, he that abides in me, is talking of fellowship, abiding in fellowship, in intimacy with him. He said, you will bring forth much fruit. Am I communicating? All fruitfulness flows from intimacy with God. This is a secret of freshness. It's a secret of the anointing. Without me, you can do nothing. If you abide in him, you will walk in ever increasing levels of the anointing. Fellowship. Communion with him. Spending time with God. Listen, spending time with God every day is the most important thing you should do every day. Did you hear what I just said? It is what? The most important thing. Yes. Spending time in fellowship with God is the most important thing on your schedule. Every day is more important than everything else. I'm telling you the truth. There are other important things, but this one is the most important thing. In fact, it determines the success of every other thing, all other undertakings. Never be in a hurry to leave the house. Never be in a hurry to do anything without spending time with God. Am I communicating? It's a secret of accuracy. And intimacy requires privacy. I say intimacy requires privacy. Spend time with God. Shut off all the noise. Shut off all the distractions. Your worst enemy is anything or anyone that distracts you from the presence of God. Anything or anyone that distracts you from spending time with God, from fellowship with God, that thing is your worst enemy. Get rid of it. Am I communicating? Intimacy with God. Mark chapter 3 verse 14. After Jesus, he did all night, then he chose his 12 disciples, and then look at what he said. Mark 3 verse 14. He said, 3:14, and he ordained 12, watch this, he ordained 12 disciples that they should be with him. The number one job description is that they should be with him. The number one responsibility, they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. So preaching is not the number one job description. The first job description is to what? Be with him. Fellowship with God. You must prioritize fellowship with God above all else. Communion with God. Am I communicating? And that he might send them forth to preach next. And then as they preach next. And to have power. Can you see that power is number three? Number one, they should be with him. Communion, fellowship. From there, he will now commission them and send them to go and preach. Number two, preaching. Number three, as they preach, the God that sent them will now confirm it with the supernatural. They will now give them power to heal the sick and to cast out devils. Watch the order. Very important.
Kuske peletena. Zabagadoska brandeke bagadai. It should be with him. Learn to spend time with God. This is the secret of the anointing. Invest your time in his presence. Invest time, energy, resources in fellowship with God. Am I communicating? This is very important. For instance, today, when I was fellowshipping with God, there were many things God told me, but there is these two. Number one, the Lord told me that, he said, healing anointing, he said, I'm increasing the healing anointing on your life. He said, you will start seeing a lot of bone cases. Bone cases. God was telling me, he said, bone cases will start getting healed like never before. You can call it orthopedic anointing. There was one man that had this anointing in abundance. And funny enough, I was watching his video yesterday night before I slept. T.L. Osborne. I may not even remember T.L. Osborne. Mighty evangelist. T.L. Osborne has that orthopedic anointing. You know what we call orthopedic? The doctors that specialize in bone diseases and all of that. You see his crusade, so many bone cases getting healed among others. And the Lord was telling me this morning, when I was just fellowshipping with him. And then there was another one he told me. He said, all the widows in AGMI and all the orphans in AGMI, we should give them a special package. Pastor Nenku, get a list for us, okay? That was the second thing. By next week Sunday, we are going to give a special package to all the widows in AGMI and all the orphans in AGMI. We'll start from that. Am I communicating? You see, there are some instructions you hear when you fellowship with God. There are things he tells you. There are things he shows you. Am I communicating? Keloboranda safraka patanas. And then the next week Sunday, being the grand finale, I'm going to be anointing everybody, because the Lord gave me that instruction. I will be praying for everyone and I will be anointing everyone with oil, both adults and children. Please make sure you come with your whole family. Am I communicating? It's a grand finale of Sons of Oil, and I'm going to be praying and anointing everyone. These were some of the things, instructions that I receive. The instruction you need to fulfill your destiny. The direction you need. You receive it in the place of intimacy. Am I communicating? Even the message you preach as a man of God. This is how I receive my message. I don't do copy and paste too. This is how I receive my messages. From his presence. As I spend time with him. It will even help you to be accurate. You will know what God is doing per time. Am I communicating? So how do you achieve intimacy with God? Number one, through his word. Psalm 39 verse 3. You learn to read the word, study the word, meditate on the word, and then be a doer of his word. You get intimate with God by spending time in his word. You read the word, you study the word, you meditate on the word, and you do the word. Psalm 39 verse 3. My heart was hard within me while I was musing. That's meditation. The fire burned. The fire of the anointing will burn as you meditate on the word. Then speak I with my tongue. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, But we all, beholding as in a mirror or as in a glass, that glass is the word of God. Am I communicating? As we behold, that's as we contemplate in meditation, we are being changed or metamorphosed by the Spirit of God from glory to glory. Romans 12 verse 2, be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word of God will renew your mind and enlarge your capacity. In Joshua 1:8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. John 6:63, Jesus said, the word I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are what? They are life. The word of God is a spiritual life-giving force. The anointing is in the word. Am I communicating? You assess it through meditation. You see, the children of Israel, they usually beat manna. They pana beat manna until oil flows out. And manna is a type of the word. So that beating of the manna is like you meditate. You are chewing the word like a ruminant animal. Am I communicating? You are until you extract the oil out of it, until the anointing flows out. There are times I meditate on God's word until I start feeling a tangible anointing on me. Am I communicating? Meditation. Meditation. Ezekiel 2:2. The Spirit entered into me when he spake to me. Spend time in the Word. Spend time listening to faith-filled messages. Go to our Telegram channel. Am I communicating? There are people that have listened to our messages and they had encounters. They got healed. They got delivered. Their lives were transformed. Some, they received direction. Wisdom came to them. They knew what step to take. Am I communicating? Listen to faith-building messages, spirit-filled messages, edifying messages. You spend time meditating, looking into the perfect law of liberty. James 1:25. He said, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. There must be a continuation, perseverance. He be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Can you give us this in Amplified? So you behold until you do. Am I communicating? He who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, so become faithful to the word, and perseveres in looking into it, there will be things that will want to distract you from the word. You must persevere. Be not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. He shall be blessed in his doing, in his life of obedience. Hallelujah. Say, I receive grace to read the word, to study the word, to meditate on the word, and to do the word always. The second way you achieve intimacy with God is through prayers with fasting. Prayers with fasting. In Luke 4 verse 1 to 14, you will see how Jesus, after engaging in that supernatural fast, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But before the temptation, he engaged in a supernatural fast, 40 days and 40 nights. And then in Luke 4:14, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. You want to walk in the anointing. Prayer with fasting. Pastor Give talked about praying much in the Spirit during our exhortation. God bless you, man. Very powerful. Learn to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is a prime activator of the anointing. Am I communicating? And then you boost the prayer with fasting. Fasting is a prayer booster. It's a prayer facilitator. Apostle Paul, mightily used of God, walked in unusual realms of the anointing. He will tell you that he fasted often. in fasting often. Am I communicating? You spend time in prayer. In Exodus 34, 28, where Moses was called by God to Mount Sinai to collect the commandments, the Bible said he was with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate nor drank anything. Some of you want power, but you don't want to hear fasting. You want to walk in the anointing, you don't want to hear fasting. You are joking. You must learn to fast. There is nobody that is walking in serious realms of the anointing that doesn't engage in fasting periodically. There is nobody. Show me anybody. Doesn't exist. So what makes you think God will lower the standard for you? Eh? Passage of time does not affect the price of spiritual things. These are some of the constraints. You learn to fast. May you receive grace to fast. Amen. May you receive grace to pray. In James chapter 5, you see, more in this story before James chapter 5, if you read down to 35, you will see how after spending time in fellowship with God in prayer, Moses came down, his face was shining. The Bible said the skin of Moses' face was shining with the glory of God. Moses was glowing with the glory of God until they had to beg him to veil his face. Anytime he's interacting or talking to the children of Israel, he will veil it, put a veil on his face. But when he's going to be with God, he will remove the veil. Am I communicating? You know, there are different kinds of ministry. You know, there are different kinds of calling. When you know that you have a call to the supernatural, you have a miracle ministry, you know, there must be a system of prayers and fasting, both personally and corporately. Eh? This is why we pray and fast. Praise God. Impact is costly. I say impact is costly. It will cost you. In James chapter 5 verse 16b, he said the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes what tremendous power available, dynamic in its working, amplified. This was the verse that made me to go and buy Amplified Bible for the first time. I didn't have Amplified Bible as a medical student. It was this verse. When I saw it, I said, the following day I went to buy Amplified. The earnest, the B part, heartfelt. Hey, you know that kind of prayer that is emanating from your heart like molten magma? The prayer has the full involvement of your heart. You are praying wholeheartedly, passionately, without distraction. This is the kind of prayer that brings power, that activates the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 2 Chronicles 7:1, it says, during the dedication of the temple of Solomon, after Solomon had made an end of praying, he said, the fire of God's glory, the fire of God's presence, what happened? Came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And what happened? The glory of God filled the house. I said the first way you get intimate with God is through His word. The second way is prayer with fastings. The third way is a lifestyle of praise and worship. Hebrews 13:15. Praise and worship. Intimacy with God is achieved through praise and worship. Hebrews 13:15. He said, By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Psalm 141 verse 2. David said,
let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as what? The evening sacrifice. Which kind of prayer do you pray, lifting up holy hands? It's a prayer of worship. It's a prayer of worship. In 2 Chronicles 5:13, it talks about how the singers, the instrumentalists, the Levite, they worshiped God in unity, in unison. And then something happened. The glory of God filled the whole house. Start from verse 13. 2 Chronicles 5:13. It says, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud. That's the manifestation of God's glory, Shekinah. It says the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you see that both the singers and the instrumentalists, they were in the spirit, united as one. You see, it's very unfortunate that most at times, instrumentalists in many churches are very carnal people. In fact, some of them self, they only come to play because of money. Eh? They are not in the spirit. They are not spiritually minded. Some of them, in fact, they don't pray, nothing. They just come. In their mind, when I finish, they give me my money, I go. So it's business. You now see why we don't see the glory of God manifested in the church most times? But look at it. All of them, they were united as one. Do you know that just the same way I prepare to come and minister, that is how every singer should prepare to come and minister. Intimacy team, are you hearing? Instrumentalists, are you hearing? It's the same way. If I need to study Bible, if I need to pray, if I need to fast, all those consecrations, the same way the man of God prepares to come and minister to impact and bless lives, it's the same way every singer, every instrumentalist, everybody taking prayer here, the person taking announcement, is the same way, because you never can tell which of the ministration God is going to use to solve somebody's problem. It may not be my session. It may be when my brother here is taking worship. That may be when somebody's hour of visitation may come. Am I communicating? This is very important. The glory of God was revealed in that spirit-filled worship. Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said what? Separate unto me Paul and what? Barnabas, for the work whereunto I what? Called them. Give me amplified. Look at the meaning of that minister to the Lord. When they worshipped and fasted, while they were worshipping the Lord. So, one major way we minister to the Lord is by worshipping Him. Okay? When we worship God, we are ministering to the Lord. When we praise the Lord, we are ministering to Him. The Holy Ghost says, separate me now, Barnabas and Paul, for the work I have called them. And that was how they were separated to the apostolic ministry. Glory to God. What's the first key I gave you to the anointing? Spiritual what? Test and hunger. Number two, a deep love for God. Number three, intimacy. It's the only 3 points, but many of them are pregnant with other points, right? Intimacy with God is because I want you to walk in the anointing. See, I'm not keeping back anything I know to help you. Am I communicating? Next, consecration. Romans 12 verse 1, consecration.
consecration. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Consecration. Purity is key to power. Purity is key to what? Power. Am I communicating? He said, let thy garment be white, and let your head lack no ointment. Ecclesiastics, let me look for the chapter and the verse. Let your garment always be white. Consecration. Consecration. Monday Geba. Are you learning something? I remember as the president of our medical student fellowship, NCCMDS, then they gave me an award of honor, and those awards have some scriptures. I think for me, it was this particular scripture that was there that I just quoted. Let your garment always be what? Ecclesiastes 9 verse 8. Sons of oil, are you listening? Let thy garments be what? Always white. It's talking of purity, purity. And let thy head lack no what? Ointment. Purity is key to power. Hebrews 1 verse 8. Hebrews 1 verse 8. Watch this. It says, But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Look at verse 9. This is where I'm going. He said, thou hast loved righteousness. Eh? The writer of Hebrews was quoting Psalm 45, 6 to 7. But don't go to Psalm 45. Okay, I'm just telling you where this scripture came from. He said, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. You want to walk in the anointing, there is something you must love, there is something you must hate. What must you love? Righteousness. What must you hate? You know, the problem is some of us, we love righteousness, but we don't hate iniquity. That's the problem. It doesn't work. You must hate iniquity. He says, therefore, as a result, even thy God has anointed thee with the what? Oil of gladness above thy fellows. You must hate sin. You must hate iniquity. And you must love righteousness. Am I communicating? He said, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. 2 Timothy 2:19. He says, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Next verse. Verse 20. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some what? To dishonor. 21. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Do you want to be a vessel unto honor? You want God to anoint you in a peculiar way. He said, purge yourself from iniquity and all that defiles. He says, sanctified and meet for what? The master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you learning something? This is very important. Consecration. Let me tell you, neighbor, keep yourself pure. Next verse, 22. Flee! There are things you must flee. Flee also youthful lust. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. Flee fornication. flee every appearance of evil. Flee pornography. You know, let me tell you something. Especially if there is a prophetic grace on your life, one of the ways Satan seeks to corrupt it is through pornography. It's through pornography. Because the same eyes that God wants to anoint so that you see the visions of God and all of that is the same eyes Satan wants you to use to be watching rubbish. It's an attack on your calling. It's an attack on that prophetic grace. He said, flee these things. Am I communicating? Flee these things. Let me tell you about flee these things. Pornography is Satan's strategy for corrupting the prophetic anointing upon so many people's lives. And what will they do? It's the spirit of lust that is there. Spirit of lust. He said, flee these things. Keep yourself pure. Hallelujah. Then next key. Number what now? Faithful service. Psalm 89 verse 20. Faithful service or faithful stewardship. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. I have found David my servant. The anointing rests upon servants. Servants, not masters. He found David in the place of service. With my holy oil, Shemen, have I anointed him. God always finds and anoints people in the place of service. Get committed to kingdom service. Service is not punishment. It's God's strategy for raising and training you to walk in the anointing. Am I communicating? Never be too big to serve. I was so inspired. I was reading the story of this Christian billionaire, businessman, the CEO, founder, chairman of Koskari's group, Dr. Maduka Cosmas. I was surprised when I saw his love for God. Honestly, it's on the news. There was a time they saw him preaching on the street. As a billionaire, he was doing evangelism, preaching with zeal, making altar call for Christ. And I learned that in his church is an usher. He serves an this is a billionaire. CEO, Koskari's group. He's an usher in his church. A heart of service. He's an usher. Some of you, small millions you saw, will not see you again. I heard the story of somebody like that, that God just tested with few millions. He was no longer coming to church. He's not coming for prayer, nothing. So the pastor called him on phone. He said, hey, Pastor, hey, I've been wanting to see you. Please see me in my office. There's something I have for you. When pastor now came to his, it was even a humble pastor. The pastor went, he said, hey, pastor, see, the way you are struggling financially like that, pastor kneel down, I need to impart you. May you never be like that. May you not stop serving God or serving in the house of God or lose your honor for those God have put over you because of small money. I told you the billionaire, I think they say he's worth over 1.2 trillion naira. That's Dr. Cosmas Maduka. He's an usher in his church. If you go to his church, it's not over among people sitting in front of it's an usher. Multi-billionaire. We'll raise those kind of billionaires here. I say we'll raise those kind of billionaires that are on fire for God, winning souls, serving in the house of God, passionately. And I was so excited when I realized he was actually born in Plateau State. Dr. Cosmas Maduka. They were in Plateau State. It was after his father died. He was 4 years. They had to relocate to Inewi. That was when before the civil war started. It was even because of civil war and his father's death that they went back to Inewi. So he actually passed through this plateau. Am I communicating? Great people pass through plateau. I have found David my servant. Did you notice when God sent Prophet Samuel to anoint one of the sons of Jesse? The person the anointing located was the only one that was in service, in the serving station, taking care of the sheep. All the other brothers from number 1 to number, is it 7? All of them, they were too big to serve. So Ororo jumped their head, landed on the head of the one that was serving. I tell people, service, as in sincere, genuine service, faithful service, is a major key to a lasting anointing. And when you serve, serve with the right motive of your heart. Serve with purity of motive. Serve with the right attitude of your heart, or else your service will be devoid of reward. Don't serve like Gehazi. Don't serve like Judas. Serve with the right attitude of heart. You remember what Peter told Simon the sorcerer? He says, "Thou, you have neither part nor lot in this anointing matter, because your heart is not right before God." Because when he saw that through the laying on of the hands of Apostle Peter and John, the Samaritan new convert, they received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He now removed money. He said, "Give me this power." Peter said, No. You think you can buy the gift of God with money? He said, "You don't have any part in this matter." He saw his greed, his lust for power. Remember, this guy was a native doctor before the Samaritan crusade. Remember, he had bewitched the old people. Am I communicating? He was lusting for power. He was ready to do anything to get it. Am I communicating? Including bribing Peter with money. You can't buy the anointing with money. You can sow into graces. You can sow into the anointing, but you can't buy it with money. Am I communicating? Don't give with the wrong motive of your heart. If you give with wrong motive, it will attract no reward. Am I communicating? Are you learning something? What about Joshua? Joshua was, Exodus 24 verse 12, Joshua was called Moses' minister. The word minister means servant. Minister, that word means servant. The Lord spake unto Moses, "Come up to me in the mount and be there. And I will give thee the tables of stone, the Lord, the commandment which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." Verse 13. And Moses rose up, and his minister, or his servant, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights. That means it was not only Moses that spent 40 days and 40 nights, Joshua too. So Joshua learned the art of communion, prayers and fasting from Moses, his master. Am I communicating? God trains you in a place of service. You learn a lot of things there. You learn the art of communion. You learn accountability. You learn honor. Am I communicating? You learn discipline. So many things. You can't learn those things online. I say you can't learn those things online. Following anybody online, there are many. The person is seeing you. Are they monitoring you? You don't learn discipline online. Am I communicating? Second Kings. No wonder you will see that in Numbers 27:15-23, when Moses was asking God, "Who should I hand over to? Who are you going to put over the congregation?" God said, "Put Joshua, the one that served you." Am I communicating? Then in 2 Kings 3:11, look at the description of Prophet Elisha. After Elijah had been carried into heaven, he had been transported to heaven. by the wild wind that took him up. Look at the description of Prophet Elisha. He says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. Somebody say service. This was his CV. Which poured water on the hands of Elisha. He left his father's lucrative farming business. And Elisha's father was a wealthy man. He left to go and be serving Prophet Elijah, pouring water on his hands, doing many jobs. And then one day, Elijah, before he was taken to heaven, in 2 Kings 2:9, Elijah said, ask what you want before I'm carried away. He said, give me a double portion of your spirit. And he received it. Am I communicating? And guess what? The last miracle of Prophet Elijah. What was the last miracle Prophet Elijah did? He parted the Jordan. That became the first miracle of Prophet Elisha after he received the double portion. Did you notice that? The last miracle of Prophet Elijah, because the two of them were walking, Elijah used his mantle and parted River Jordan for them to walk through. Now, Elisha, after receiving the double portion, after Elijah was carried into heaven, came and stood before the water. He took the mantle that came from Elisha. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the thing obeyed him. The thing parted hither and thither. When the sons of the prophet saw it, they came and bowed to him. He said, indeed, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. So Elijah's last miracle becomes the first miracle of Elisha through the power of service. Somebody say service. This is very important. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, it is required in verse 2, in service, in stewardship, that a man be found what? Faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So you serve faithfully. Faithful service. Be dependable. Be committed. And there is no genuine service without sacrifice. Am I communicating? Sacrifice of time, energy, and resources. Then next, number what now? 6, sacrifice. Psalm 50 verse 5, sacrifice. Sacrifice is a major key to the anointing. He said, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Now, this covenant here is not talking of Old Testament or New Testament. They are personal covenants God cut with people based on their sacrifice. Bishop Oyedepo gave this story. He said, one day, he was in fellowship with God, worshiping God. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. The next thing he heard God's voice. He said, my son David, what did you bring for me? He said, Lord, I give you my 1 year salary. He gave God his 1 year salary. His 1 year salary. And then God said, my son David, because you did this. He said, even if you don't want to be rich, it is too late. Somebody say sacrifice. Those that made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Sacrifice of yourself. Sacrifice of your substance. You can cut personal covenants with God by your sacrifice. When you see a man of God that is anointed, one of the secrets of the anointings is the personal covenant they have cut with God by reason of their sacrifice. There is something they did that made God swear that, Kai, if it comes to this area, this person, the anointing will always speak for you. God anoints them on that platform of sacrifice for certain things. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? If Benny Hinn should preach during marriage, relationship and marriage seminar, people will still get healed. Am I communicating? Psalm 51 verse 17. 51 by verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This is very important. Brokenness and contriteness of heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Some of us are too stubborn. Our heart is too hard. No. It says a broken and a contrite heart. You need that malleable heart. That repentant heart. That malleable heart. Am I communicating? You need to be dead to self. You need to be dead to your personal ambition. You need to be dead to pride. You need to be dead to criticism. You need to be dead to even the praise of men. I was telling my wife, I said, there is nothing people say about me that moves me, honestly. Whether you abuse me or you praise me, it's like water running off a dog's back. It doesn't mean anything to me, honest. The only thing that matters to me is God's opinion of me. And if your opinion is in line with what God is saying, no problem, I will accept it. But anything contrary, it doesn't mean. And I don't take it personal. For instance, if you say, see your head like a fan, I will ask myself, is my head like fan? The answer is no. Did the word of God say my head is like fan? No. So I brush it off and move. I don't take anything personal. Some of us are too people approval addicted. And by the way, if the praise of men move you, their criticism will also affect you. If you feed on the praise of men, their criticism must affect you. Am I communicating? If you say, I am an idiot, I will ask myself, am I an idiot? The answer is no. Simple. No offense. Nothing personal. Sacrifice of self. Brokenness and contriteness. Some of you have never cried in the presence of God. The only place you cried, the only time you cried was when you had an heartbreak or when they scammed you. You lost money. But if you learn to cry in God's presence, in fellowship with God, you will do less of the other kind of crying. Praise God. Sacrifice of self, sacrifice of substance, resources. Sacrificial giving is also a major key to the anointing. I'm yet to see people that are really, really anointed that are not givers. Greedy people hardly walk in serious dimensions of the anointing. All the most anointed people I know, they are givers. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace to abound towards the giver, that you will always have enough to require no aid, no support. Am I communicating? Giving is a major secret of the anointing, especially when done with the right motive. Am I communicating? It was after Solomon in 1 Kings 3 verse 3 to 15. After Solomon, out of love, gave to God a record-breaking sacrifice, 1,000 burnt offering, that God appeared to him in the night. He had an encounter with God, and God gave him wisdom. God gave him blank check. Solomon, what do you want? He said, give me wisdom. God gave him wisdom. He became not just the wisest man of his generation, he became the richest. The anointing for wisdom and wealth came on that platform of sacrifice. Am I communicating? Then the last key. Number one, what was the first key I gave you? Let's do a summary. Spiritual test and hunger. Number two, a deep love for God. Number three, intimacy with God. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven now, impartations. Romans 1:11, impartations. Now, impartation is the spiritual transference of the anointing, graces, or spiritual virtues and possibilities from the carrier vessel to the receiving vessel for the purpose of destiny transformation and divine upgrade. Romans 1:11. Graces and anointings can be transferred by impartation. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts. So even spiritual gifts can be transferred to the end that ye may be established. You can become established in any grace by impartation. Hebrews 7:7, talking about how Abraham encountered Melchizedek and he received an impartation from Melchizedek. He says, beyond all without all contradiction, the less, that's Abraham, is blessed of the better, that's Melchizedek. The anointing never flows sideways. The anointing flows only in one direction, from top to what? Bottom. From what? Top. One person must agree to be less, the other one must agree to be the greater in that regard. Am I communicating? So colleagues don't impart each other. At best, they advise each other. Am I communicating? The less is empowered, is imparted, is upgraded by the better. Am I communicating? Is blessed. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. And now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. Through the laying on of hands, Joshua received an impartation of the spirit of wisdom, that anointing for wisdom. Am I communicating? Because Moses laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel aching unto him, as and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Glory to God. Now there are laws that govern impartation. Next week we'll look at them. Hallelujah. Now, how do you activate the anointing? Number one, through preaching and teaching of the gospel. Luke 5:17. While Jesus was teaching, the power of God was present to heal the sick. As we preach and teach, there is an activation of the anointing. In Mark 16:20, they went and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. As they were preaching, the Lord was confirming the word. There was a release of the anointing. So you activate the anointing as you proclaim the gospel in preaching and as you teach the word of God. Acts 14 verse 3, it says, long time abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, who gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Notice, long time, not short time. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. They were preaching the gospel, and the Lord gave testimony to the word of his grace, and signs and wonders were performed. Hallelujah. Number two, how do you activate the anointing? Through spirit-filled music or worship. Spirit-filled music or worship. Now, Music, worship, very important in, when you talk about activating the anointing, okay? That's why if you watch a lot of anointed ministries that work a lot in the anointing, you will notice that they don't joke with their music ministry and they don't joke with their instruments. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The faith that is in your heart through your words and your corresponding actions of obedience. So the anointing is activated by faith, and you release that faith by your words and by your actions. Am I communicating? The woman with the issue of blood, she released, that was action, corresponding action, and then she touched, corresponding action, and there was a flow of the healing anointing to her. Am I communicating? Others were touching Jesus. They didn't receive anything. How come it was our own touch? Because our own touch was a touch of faith. Anytime there is a marriage of faith and the anointing, a miracle is born. Am I communicating? It is by your faith that you activate and appropriate the anointing for personal use. You dive into the miraculous pool of God's power by your faith to receive your miracle. Am I communicating? And you release your faith by your corresponding action. In Acts chapter 3, the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. The Bible said, Peter said, look on us. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man was still on the ground. No action. He was still lame. He was still paralyzed because he has not given action to his faith. Look at what Peter did. Peter grabbed him to help to give action to his faith. Am I communicating? And lifted him up, and the man leaped up. And by that action, the power of God was switched into manifestation. Am I communicating? It is by faith that you switch the power of God into manifestation and operation for your benefit. And the man started leaping and jumping and praising God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, he said, your faith has made you whole. He didn't even say my power made you whole. He said your faith. Rise to your feet. Kilo barando sovrahadaska pa. Malakuska brandeke porra kapatanas. Ila gabando sovreke deska. Palatizo vabalatina. I want you to pray in the spirit. Just pray in the spirit in 1-2 minutes. Just pray in the spirit in appreciation to God for what you just received. Just pray in the spirit. Ki so vebelendo so vrahatanas. Mandeke po raga bataska. Brandeke poshka. La brandeke po. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Shaliga bondeke praska pakatai. Grace to walk in the anointing in ever increasing measure. Grace to walk in the anointing in ever increasing measure. Let that grace rest upon me. On the peletoska branda kapatai. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Shabaladabade. Oh Lord, for your name is great. And
Express your love towards him. Just love him, love him, love him. Kendo sova bura balika prande ke bura bakata. Just express your love to him. He's the lover of your soul. Masha palado sa prande ke palata.
Father. Now I want to give opportunity to anyone either following online or under the sound of my voice here. You want to make your ways right with God. You want to start a new relationship with Jesus. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want a deep relationship with your Maker. You want to accept the sacrifice that he made for you 2,000 years ago. You want to be born again, or perhaps you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are under the sound of my voice, whether in this hall or following online. Just lift up your right hand and I want you to say this prayer after me. Believe it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. And on the third day you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sadlon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.